hear the good song, and then we'll give our attention this morning to Brother Scott Mercer going to Thailand. Okay.
As we look around us, all the fields are wide, ripen unto harvest, and so swiftly comes the night. Christians must get busy, there is work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them, win the lost at any cost. Christ, our loving shepherd, went out from the fold, seeking for the stray lamb that was lost in dark and cold. Tender hands of kindness raise him from the ground. Now the little lost one had been found. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them, win the lost at any cost. Check your fold, my Christian, are the children in? Are there yet some straying, lost in blackened fields of sin? You must go and reach them, go without delay. Soon the shades of night will end the day. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go.
One of my favorite songs. I appreciate that, Brother Foss. I've really enjoyed getting to know these missionaries. I believe that 30 years from now, I'll look back on this conference and some of the greatest missionaries in the world will be some of you that some of them already left, but just some great missionaries that we're running into at this conference. On behalf of the Thailand class, who was in the Thailand class? Raise your hand. Oh, over here. Okay, on behalf of the Thailand class, I'd like to demand a recount. I really thought you all did a good job. But how many of you are in the Dominican Republic class? Raise your hand. All right. And then how many of you the Serbia class? All right. Well, every one of you did an excellent job. My wife and I, she got to see it, but she didn't get to judge. But every one of you just did an unbelievable job. And I was really, really impressed. Not just with the teachers, but the kids got involved, and I've never seen anything like that. But it was just unbelievable. It really meant a lot to us, and we want to thank you for that. I want to thank Brother Sixtad. Brother Sixtad has been one of my heroes since I can remember. My parents just love the two of you. And, of course, your son Josh has been one of my heroes. All of your sons, but especially Josh, has been one of my heroes since I can remember. Josh was on my bus route when I was a little boy, and I always used to shake my hand and hurt it when he shook my hand. He'd shake it real hard and do it on purpose, so I didn't like him for that, but was always one of my heroes. And those of you missionaries that we still are new missionaries. I think you all can attest to this, but no one can say, go get the job done, like someone who's been doing it for 27 years. And we thank you for that. You know, your preaching has been great this week, but the testimony of the 27 years has, to my wife and I, that's just an unbelievable motivation to us. And not only have you all been on the field for 27 years, but where you've been, Nigeria, Africa, just one of the most difficult places in the world, and we do thank you for that. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to preach a very simple sermon this morning. I understand we have all age groups in the room, and I want to be of help to each one of you. I really would like to be of help to you. I'm going to preach on my life verse. It's a very simple verse. Many of you have this verse memorized, Proverbs chapter 3. And for those of you young ones that don't have it memorized, I would encourage you teachers to get these kids to memorize this verse. This is one of the greatest promises in the Bible. And I've taken this as my life verse, and I have clung on to this verse. And if we will do what this verse says, God's promises come through every time. And God will come through. Let's look at verse 5, and you can read it along with me, starting with trust in the Lord. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, I know in the room here this morning, many of you are about to graduate from high school. How many of you are juniors and seniors? Raise your hand. Now, this is a very, you can put your hands down, this is a very critical time in your lives, and a very critical time in all of your lives, but especially those of you that are about to graduate from high school. I think of when I surrendered to the mission field. It was when I was a senior in high school. And one of the most consuming thoughts for those of you that are about to graduate is, what do I do when I graduate? What is God's will for my life? We hear preaching on God's will a lot. And what is it that God would have me to do? You know, I told you when I was your age, if you'd have told me I was going to be a missionary to Thailand, I probably would have ran away from home. But right now, I am the happiest person in the entire world. I married God's will for my life, and I'm doing what God wants me to do, and there's no greater happiness. I'm going to give each of you in the room this morning four obstacles to trusting God. Now, God tells each one of us, trust God, and I'll direct your paths. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if you and I had a promise from God? God said, you do this, and I'm going to direct everything you do. I'm going to make it turn out my plan. You'll be happy. We'd like that, wouldn't we? Well, there it is. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's a lot of people in this world. Some of them might be older brothers or sisters of yours. Some of you may have an aunt or an uncle. And you say, Brother Scott, those people are just not happy people. I can tell you why. Because somewhere along the line, they got away from this verse. They got away from trusting God. Boy, it sounds so simple. But the truth is, if you and I will trust God with every area of our life, when you get to be your pastor's age, you'll look back and it'll just be like Brother Six Dad was talking about. You'll be clipping coupons like Brother House used to say. You'll be so thankful you did right. Trusting God, the first obstacle for trusting God is fear. Fear comes when you're facing something you've never faced before. The Bible says in Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The Bible says in Psalm 91:2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. How many of you in the room have ever been to Six Flags? Raise your hand. Any of you been to Six Flags? Now, how far is that from here? Just an hour or two? Hour and a half. That was one of my favorite places to go when I was a little boy, little girl. It was back then, I think it was called Little Boy or a Little Girl. Either one, I enjoyed it. It was great. Now, anything that I say when I'm preaching, if it sounds a little off, it probably is. We were in a church in Louisiana, and I said, you know, the Thai language is a very difficult language. I said it has over 50 vowels, unlike the English language that has 7 vowels. And everybody started to laugh, and I meant 6. And my wife's down there, 5. So, A-E-I-O, 5, okay. But back then, I think it was called Six Flags Great America. And I loved it. I mean, it was just the greatest place. They had the best food. My dad and mom would take us there. But when I was little, I probably some of your ages over here, I didn't like roller coasters. Boy, roller coasters were just, it was too much for me. Why someone would pay money to get scared half to death was beyond me. So we'd go there, and my brother and sister, they'd go on these big rides, and I'd go on the little horse that goes up and down, the carousel, whatever you call it. And that was just all the fun I needed. I mean, I didn't need any more fun than that. And we'd get off that ride, and my brother and sister would want to go on another roller coaster, and I'd say, Mom, let's go on the horses again. I mean, that just sounded fun to me. I had no interest in roller coasters. Well, my sister Heidi, she's a youth pastor's wife now in South Carolina. But she's a very dishonest person. And my sister Heidi, she said, Scott, why don't you go on a roller coaster? I said, Heidi, you might as well stop asking because I'm never going to go on a roller coaster as long as I live. And she said, well, Scott, I won't ask you ever again, but there's one roller coaster. It's called Batman. They let the little kids go on it. They let the grandmas go on it. It's not a scary roller coaster. This is kind of the roller coaster, Scott, that kind of breaks everybody into roller coasters. It's a piece of cake. How many of you have been to Six Flags and you understand that you can't see the Batman ride? It's covered by ivy. There's gates around it. You can see a couple pieces of it, but you can't see the ride. So we wait in line. We're waiting there for about an hour and a half. And I'm thinking to myself, why in the world would anybody wait an hour and a half to ride a ride that's not that fun? I don't know. Maybe I was 9 years old. I get on this ride about 1,000 feet up the incline. I am screaming at the top of my lungs, you liar. And I thought, I really was about to sue this place because I thought if you yelled, stop, let me off, they're supposed to stop and let you off. They didn't. So we get to the top of this incline, and for those of you that have ever been on the ride Batman, this is not one of those where you sit on top and buckle in or whatever else. You stand up, and the thing actually click, click, click on top of you, and you're hanging. Your feet are dangling. So we go down the first incline, and how many of you understand it goes click, 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 all the way down on you, and you're supposed to click all the way against your stomach. Sometimes they do it too tight. It's like you can't breathe. And we go down the first incline, and all my seat did is it just did one little click. Just one click. And I'm telling you what, I have never in my life experienced anything like that. It was the most incredible fear I've ever faced. I thought I was going to die. And the ride got done, and everybody's saying, what a great time you have. You go look at the pictures. It looks like they're about to die. You know what I'm talking about? They want you to spend $15 on the thing, and your face is like, ah. It's like, that wasn't fun, but let's do it again. Roller coasters. Now, I am terrified of roller coasters. My wife, she wanted to go to Cedar Point. Fine, let's go to Cedar Point. And she's kind of got me on the roller coasters. I still don't like them, but I'll do them to make my wife happy. But that is a great fear in my life. I am terrified of heights. Man, I get up there on the balcony and I start to get scared. I'm getting scared right now. I'm going to back off from this edge. I am terrified of heights. I'm terrified of snakes. Man, Thailand has cobra snakes. You see a picture of them in one of our books back there. How many of you are afraid of snakes? Yeah. Oh, I'm terrified of snakes. But every single one of us has things that we are afraid of. And you know what the devil's going to do? Is the first time a preacher gets up here, the first time the Holy Spirit convicts your heart about doing something for God, you know what the devil's going to do? Oh, you don't want to do that. That's scary. Many times what God wants you and I to do, there's some fear involved. Man, you listen to some of these stories of Brother Sixth, Dad, and you think, this guy is nuts. How in the world would someone, I mean, because he is not going to let fear keep him from doing what God wants him to do. Boy, trust in the Lord and God's going to direct your path. Well, the first thing that's going to prevent you, that's going to be an obstacle for you to trust God is fear. It's going to come up in every one of our lives. It is a huge obstacle that is going to stop you and I from wanting to do the will of God. Wouldn't it be great if you and I decided today, whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. And I don't care if I'm afraid. You know, he's talking about Peter stepping out of the boat. And the men on the boat cried out for fear. Boy, that had to be a scary thing to step out of that boat. Fear. The first obstacle of trusting God, of doing the will of God, is fear. The second one is fun. Fun. We live in a society where if it's fun, easy, or free, people will do it. But if it's boring, hard, or will cost them something, they want nothing to do with it. How many of you understand that we have a whole bunch of people in America today that sit on their couch and put out their hand to the government and say, you owe me something? Everything that you have, from the clothes on your body to this beautiful church building, you have because someone worked hard for it. I was a 16-year-old, turned 16. Now, I don't know how it was in your family, but every year we got something big for our birthday, but on our 16th birthday, that was the big gift. I mean, that was, my parents went to us and said, what is something you'd like? And my parents weren't wealthy, but they saved up money and they got my brother reasonably. I mean, I didn't ask for a Mustang, but they got us something reasonable that was nice. Well, man, I got to thinking, what would I like for my 16th birthday? I was in church. I was actually in a youth revival, and I saw this guy get up. His name was Clint Miller. He was a pastor in California, and he was strumming away on this guitar, and I thought, doesn't that just look fun? And I go to my dad. I said, Dad, I want a guitar for my 16th birthday. My dad said, okay, you sure that's what you want? Dad, that's what I want. So my dad takes me out guitar shopping. Boy, it was great. We went to these music stores, and we're looking for a guitar. How many of you know what a guitar is? Okay, it's a great, I mean, you just, it doesn't look fun to play. It just looks fun. So I said, Dad, I want a guitar. Please behave over here. So I said, Dad, I want a guitar. So my dad buys me a guitar. It is beautiful. It makes a great ornament in my parents' front porch of my parents' house right now. My dad said, well, if I'm going to buy you a guitar, I'm going to have to pay for you to have lessons. You got to have lessons. So I go out, I buy all these music books, and Brother Tim Harrell is a Bible teacher at my high school. And he agreed to give me guitar lessons. He is an amazing guitar player. I lasted 3 lessons. Brother Puente, do you understand how unbelievably useful and helpful it would be for me to be able to play the guitar on deputation and in Thailand? You know why I don't play the guitar? Because it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. And I wanted nothing to do with something that wasn't enjoyable. When God asks you and me to do something, you know one of the first things you and I think? Is this going to be fun? Is this going to be something that I've always wanted to do? Man, we talked about baseball the other night. I love baseball. I'm a coach on one of our church softball teams, and man, I go all out. Christy's like, you're going to spend $35 for batting gloves? Well, I mean, that's a cheap pair. You got to baseball. Man, some of you guys played basketball with me the other day. You love basketball. That's something you want to do. You know what's something you don't want to do? Go to Nigeria and go soul winning. Boy, missions, when I was a young boy, I thought missionaries just went over there and they went soul winning 24 hours a day. And what you and I fail to understand is that when God tells you to do something and you do it, it's the funnest thing in the world. God gives you and me the desire to do what we're doing. Man, I looked at the people I went to high school with. How many of you understand I went to a Christian high school? Man, I walk into church with my beautiful wife. Some of them are divorced twice. They're only 24 years old, already been divorced twice. Some of them aren't in church, they're in jail. And I gave up some things, and God has given me the life I dreamed of. Psalm 44, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. God's will includes hard work, sometimes a lack of fun, and will cost you a great gain. But you will be blessed by God. God's will is way better than any dream we could ever have for ourselves. The first obstacle you're going to have when God's will is set before you is fear. The second one is fun. The third obstacle is friends. We sang the song, I Am Resolved, No Longer to Linger, Charmed by the World's Delight. What a great hymn. He led us in that a couple minutes ago. I think the second or third verse said, friends may oppose me. Foes, how's it go? Foes may beset me. Friends may oppose me. I was on the traveling ensemble my junior and senior year. Brother Eddie Lapina was the director. And we got to go on a ski trip to Michigan. Just one of the greatest things. And the best part about that was we get to spend the night in a hotel. Now, I don't know what it is about high schoolers, but it's just fun to spend the night in a hotel. You get to be missionaries and you're in hotels all the time, and it's like, man, I want to go home. But when you're in high school, that's a fun thing to do, is spend the night in hotels. Well, I was with about four other boys, and one of my friends, Steve Lakey, was in the hotel room with me. Now, Steve was an excellent person. Steve got Mr. Hammond Baptist High School my senior year. He was a couple votes off Mr. Highlander. I mean, this guy is right down the line. He doesn't do anything wrong. People like that kind of tick me off, okay? Well, we're in the hotel room, and Brother Eddie had made very clear instructions to us. Brother Eddie told us, for no reason are you to turn the TV on. For no reason. He said not to watch the news, not to watch sports, don't turn the TV on. Well, we got in the room, and of course we're going to turn the TV on. I mean, I grabbed the remote. Here I am, a junior in high school, and I say, let's watch. I said, we're not going to watch anything bad. Let's watch a basketball game. Now, Steve's my friend. Steve looks over at me and says, we're not going to do that. I said, what? He said, Brother Eddie said, we're not going to watch TV. We're not watching TV. And he reaches over and he grabs the remote out of my hand. I said, Steve, you've got to be kidding me. I said, the reason Brother Eddie said that is because he doesn't want all these wicked guys watching bad things on TV. He doesn't want these girls turning on the TV and watching some soap opera. But he has no problem with you and me watching an innocent basketball game. And Steve said, nope, we're not doing it. Man, I remember the other, I think there was five guys in our room. The other guys, they were on my side. I mean, we were furious at Steve Lakey. We were upset. When you and I choose to do right, believe it or not, even sometimes in a Christian school, you're going to have some people oppose you. You're going to have some people. Why would people oppose you? Why? Boy, Pastor talked about it last night. Why in the world would a parent say, boy, that's not a good idea to go on the mission field? Well, this is why. Because sometimes your friends, and sometimes even some of your family members, their faith is not where it should be. Boy, they have fear for you. Man, it's awful fearful to send your kids to a mission field. Boy, wouldn't it just be nice if all of your kids were at home with you, they all married people, and all your daughters married men, and they came back and worked at your church, and all of your boys came back. I mean, everybody, but that's just not how it works. Boy, you have friends at school that you do right, and they make fun of you. You have friends, maybe not at school, but maybe in your neighborhood or maybe in your youth group. You do right. And sometimes even in a Christian environment, it may not be the cool thing to do right. God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and I'm going to direct your paths. But you know what stops us? First of all, fear stops us. Second of all, fun stops us. And sadly enough, sometimes even friends get in our way from trusting in God. You all have done a great job of listening this morning. I have one more and I'll be done. Faults. Even at an age of those of you that are in the room here. Now, I know we have some adults in the room. But I think even as a junior and senior, Satan is already working in. Boy, that was a good sermon by Brother Scott, but you know what you've done. You know the faults, you know the things that you've done. Boy, I know the Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart and He's going to direct your paths, but boy, that's for Brother Angel. That's for Steve Lakey. I mean, that's for the guy who, right down the line, they're perfect, they never do anything wrong. I just had a problem in high school with being a good person. I mean, I never smoked, I never drank, I didn't swear. I mean, I was a little bit of a mischievous person. And I struggled that God would use me. Man, I saw these guys and boy, they never talked in class. They won all the people. I mean, they were just perfect people. And you always thought, boy, that person is going to do something great for God. One of Satan's biggest goals is to get you and I to feel insignificant. If Satan can get you teenagers to feel like you're not important, he's won the battle on you doing something great for God. What is your name? Nathan, I'm going to pick on you. Do you mind that? Nathan, I'm going to play the devil's advocate this morning. Nathan, you understand that there's 7 billion people in the world. You understand that, right? Okay, Nathan. Nathan, you're one of about 100 people in here. I didn't even know your name. You had told me earlier and I forgot it. Well, you're just not that important. Nathan, the truth is, if you up and decided to run away from home and just ruin your life, there's not too many people here that would even care. I mean, you're just one person of 7 billion people. What you do with your life, Nathan, doesn't really matter. How many of you are glad that your pastor didn't fall for that lie? Satan wants to stick in your face every wrong thing you've done every time God wants to use you. And so many times it works. How many of you are glad that not all of us know all the wicked things we've done? Every time I get ready to do something for God, God shoves in front of me my faults. And don't get me wrong, God wants to use someone who is pure, who is holy. But the faults you've made in your past, don't let Satan throw those in your face and say God can't use you. If you and I could get on some magical airplane and fly up to God's room in heaven where He has all the plans for everybody in the world, And Nathan, if you and I were to break into that room and we were to find your file on what God has for you, you know what most of us would do? Oh, no, there's someone else with my name. There's no way God thinks I can do that. But He does. God's plan for your life is so much greater than your plan for your life. I had a Sunday school class, and I used to have each boy come up to the board and write what they wanted in 10 years. And they'd come up and write a nice house, a nice car, a nice wife. If we put your board here, and we put God's board here of what God has for you in 10 years, God's board is going to blow your board out of the water. Bible says in Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. I loved basketball when I was in high school. Christy always jokes around if there's something that I don't know. And my wife is homeschooled, so I tease her for that. Truth is, she's a lot smarter than most Christian school kids, but I like to tease her. But if there's anything I don't know, maybe on a particular subject, the other day we were driving and she asked me, what's the capital of New Hampshire? I mean, who knows that, right? So I said, you know, I didn't know. And she has them all memorized forward and backwards. And she says, oh, you were probably pulled out of class for a basketball game. Which is probably the honest truth. I mean, basketball was my life when I was in high school. I remember I was a junior, and I wasn't quite a starter. We had a big school, and I was just about the sixth man. How many of you know what a sixth man is? Okay, you're getting some playing time, but you're not quite a starter. And I remember the feeling that I had when my coach would look down to the end of the bench, and he'd stomp his foot. He just saw something he didn't like, and he'd say, "Mercer, get in the game." Man, I could barely get my warm-up off. My head was so big. I tried it over there to the scores table, number 31. I checked in that game. I got fouled out of every game my junior and senior year, except for probably two or three. I was a maniac. The very fact that my coach wanted me in the game, I gave everything that I had for my coach. Man, I'd dive on the ground. I'd get bloody knees every game. I was a maniac. I'd foul. I mean, I was ferocious. I had a passion for basketball. I gave everything I had because my coach wanted me in the game. If you and I had any idea of how badly God wants you in His game, we would give everything we had. We would bloody our knees. We wouldn't let fear get in the way. We wouldn't worry about if it was fun or not. We wouldn't worry about our friends. Boy, we'd give everything we had. Because God wants me in the game. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the pastor's daughter. Or I don't care if you don't even know who your parents are. God has a big plan for your life. You know what He wants? He just wants you to trust Him. He just wants you to say, you know what? I'm going to trust God with all my heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord, You've been so good to us. God, we thank You for the Word of God, where You tell us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And God, You don't just leave it with that, but You tell us that You will direct our paths. God, I pray that we as teenagers and young people, we would not allow fear or fun or friends or our own faults to get in the way from Your will for our lives.
Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for a few minutes. And I mean no disrespect to Mark Sigstad. I think you know my opinion of him, but I do not believe that Brother Sigstad could have preached a better message for this morning than the one we just heard. That was the message God wanted today. Great message. How many of you would say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart? Would you raise your hand? Just slip your hand up somewhere throughout the course of the message. All right, thank you. Take your hands down. How many of you, right now where you sit, you think of a friend that's not good for you? Here at church, in the neighborhood, maybe a family member, a cousin or something. Don't raise your hand. Don't say any names. But you think of a friend that's not helpful, doesn't encourage you in your service for the Lord, in your love for God. Okay? That's what we always run to, that bad friend. Let's turn it around. How many of you have a friend here, family member, somewhere who encourages you for right, for God, to love the Lord and serve God? How many of you have a friend like that? Would you slip your hand up, please? You have a friend like that. Thank you. Take your hands down. Why don't we do this morning? Maybe you need to come to the altar and have prayer about just, you know, okay, I'm not going to let fear or faults or fun or friends stand in the way, be an obstacle of my trust in God. But how about going, if that friend is in the room this morning when the music begins, how about going to that friend and just coming to the altar and saying to that friend, you are an encouragement to me. And give them the right, give them the liberty to come to you if they ever see you veering off the path and say, look, you know what? I'm concerned for you. The Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. That means it's good for somebody, a friend. It's helpful for a friend. You're giving a friend the permission to look you in the eyes and say, what are you doing? No, we're not going to turn that on. If your friend like that is in the room this morning, you go to them and you bring them to the altar, ask them to come pray with you, and just commit to your friend that you want them to be involved in your life. Stay, you've been an encouragement to me, you've helped me. Maybe it's more than one, maybe it's two or three. And just pray and give each other that liberty in your life. All right? Father, thank you for the great message, the great truths, and the spirit in which it was presented. Bless the invitation to our well-being now in Jesus' name. All right?